And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Amen. It must have been quite the news to hear that his virgin fiancée was pregnant. A child out of wedlock. Now today, society would say, what's the big deal? Happens all the time. So what? The girl got pregnant. But such a flippant attitude towards sin would have been foreign to first century Israel. Do you know what happened to the adulteress under Mosaic law? She was sentenced to death. Just recall the story in John's Gospel when the woman was accused of adultery. The people were ready to stone her to death for what she did, and only by the grace of God did Jesus come and turn the tables on the accusers. You know the line, you who have not sinned, cast the first stone. By the grace of God, this woman is spared, but it could have turned out very badly. Joseph doesn't always get the press he deserves. The text says he was a just man and he desired to divorce her quietly. He didn't make a spectacle out of her sin, dragging Mary into the streets, demanding retribution for what she did. Instead, he resolves to divorce her quietly. He aims to keep the sin a secret to avoid Mary from receiving public punishment. Joseph was faithful. But that's not the main point of this story. The bigger point is, why was Mary pregnant to begin with? As Joseph was pondering his predicament of having a pregnant virgin fiancé in a land that didn't take kindly to adultery, he got the news of a lifetime. The angel of the Lord appeared. Joseph, do not fear. Your betrothed one is not an adulteress. Far from it. She's the favored one. She has been favored by God to be the vessel of his only begotten Son. Her body was the instrument by which the incarnation took place by the Holy Spirit. Mary was the temple of God because she bore the Holy Christ. She bore the Savior of humanity. Lord of lords, God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, that we confess in the Nicene Creed, God in the flesh resided in a virgin. Mary was even called by the early church, get this, she was called the Mother of God. And rightly so. Joseph was told not to be afraid to take his wife because that which is conceived in her womb is by the Holy Spirit, yes, but also it was the fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah, and we heard this in the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah foretold this when he said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. Christ is God with us. Governing the cosmos, giving life to all men, God does these things as he rules his creation as a fetus, destined to be born and die for the world. That is the mystery of the incarnation that we behold as Christians. Even Mary, when she heard the news from the angel, we hear it in Luke's gospel, she asked the question, how could this be since I am a virgin? The incarnation is a mystery. The divine Word of God taking on human flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit while existing for eternity, it is a mystery, but a foundational truth in God's Word. But we might ask, why did it happen? Why this? Why did God see fit to take on a human body only to live, suffer, and die? You've probably heard something said along the lines of, why doesn't God just snap his fingers and wipe away sin. Boy, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? Why doesn't he just do it that way? Or why can't we just say, I'm sorry, and he overlook everything and we call it a day? Two such contentions. One sufficient answer is, God is almighty and wise, his ways are not our ways, and he is certainly free to save however he chooses. It's not up to us to question and to probe deeper. And that's one answer. But there was an early church theologian. His name was Athanasius. Ever heard of the Athanasian Creed? Well, Athanasius was an early church guy. He knew the incarnation frontwards and backwards. And he didn't see it this way. For Athanasius, the reason for the incarnation was because of sin. And for him, it wasn't just the problem of sinful acts for which we could say, I'm sorry, those are bad enough. But we can't forget even the sinful corruption of our natural bodies. Every fiber of the flesh is tainted by sin, and so even flesh needs liberating from this disease. Athanasius will make the point. Only God himself could redeem our corrupted flesh, and he does it by taking on human flesh to make us once again incorruptible. Only the very Son of God could suffer on our behalf and be a sacrifice acceptable to the Father. Only Jesus, true God, true man, could be our ambassador, our advocate by whom we have been reconciled to our holy God. And this is the child, dwelling in the womb of Mary. He would be the Savior of his people. And only he alone, friends, could bear the world's sins and pay the price sufficient to cover them. A mere man cannot do that. It takes God to do something of that magnitude, and he has done it. Now, I want to share with you a quote from Luther. This quote isn't hard to find. It's in our Lutheran Confessions in the Formula of Concord, which is the last of our confessional documents. But here's the quote from Luther. He comments on this. We Christians should know that if God is not in the scale to give it weight, we on our side sink to the ground. I mean it this way. If it cannot be said that God died for us, but only a man, we are lost. But if God's death and a dead God lie in the balance, his side goes down and ours goes up like a light, an empty scale. Yet he can also readily go up again or leap out of the scale, but he could not sit on the scale unless he became a man like us, so that it could be called God's dying, God's martyrdom, God's blood, and God's death. For God in his own nature cannot die, but now that God and man are united in one person, it is called God's death. When the man dies, who is one substance or one person with God? Now that's a long quote. A deep quote, but it's important, and it simply means this. God puts himself in the balance to save. Such is his love for you. Why did the incarnation happen? Because of God's love for you. A love so great, he was willing to take on a human body in order to give life to your flesh. Why did the incarnation happen? Because our God refused to sit back and watch his creation wallow in sin and death, but he himself would save us by coming in the form of a servant and born of a virgin. This week we celebrate this birth. It's hard to believe, but Christmas is here. Advent comes to a close. And with Christmas comes all the usual things, right? Too much food? For most of us, maybe. A lot of gifts. Fellowship with others. It's supposed to be a festive time, even if a busy one. Yet behind the presents and the niceties exchanged, behind all the sparkling lights, bright smiles, polished exteriors, and shiny bells, beneath all the nice and neat wrapping paper and bows, I know there are things on your mind and things in your heart that are troubling you. You're going through a spell, battling a storm. There's a situation you're dealing with under the surface. You've been in the game long enough to know temptation doesn't take a break for the holidays, does it? Neither does Satan. This may not be the first time you celebrate a Christmas without a loved one, but does it really matter? Every year, the holidays conjure up memories of people and times that have since passed, and these memories cause us to mourn. If you're going through some financial difficulties, the strain of Christmas can be just that, a strain, a burden. Far from a time of festivity and cheer, you see it as a big hit in the pocketbook. And you wonder, how am I supposed to pay the bills this month? Or maybe you're dealing with a temptation that is strong and it is powerful and you battle it, but it keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. The wrapping paper is pretty and neat, but underneath it's a different story. On the outside of your bright smiles and telling people, I'm fine, beneath, we know otherwise. Sin isn't just some abstract biblical concept, is it? No, sin is real, and it is very powerful. It darkens our minds, and it pollutes our souls. It causes anxiety, fear, guilt. Sin troubles the Christian who wants to do better, who hears God's exhortation, who tries to keep God's law, but finds his or herself battling temptation and succumbing to sin. People of God, redeemed by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, there is a line in today's gospel that is for you. It is for you, and we can't hear it too often. We've heard this gospel lesson before, but we can't hear it too often. That line is this. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus saves his people from their sins. God saves his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. Jesus rescues you from your iniquity. This means the sin that entangles you and brings you down to the pits, they have been broken. When you feel as if you're sinking in deep mire and you have no foothold, when the flood sweeps over you and you are weary from crying out, when your throat is parched, your eyes are dim, your Savior Jesus saves you from your sin. When your bones are broken and your strength is dried up, when you scream in the rush of great waters, whatever they may be, no matter how desperate or distraught you are, Jesus saves his people from their sins. And never feel as if in all of this you are alone. Remember who Jesus is called. His name, he is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christ is God with us. God is with you because Christ is with you. Your Savior, yours by faith. That gift of believing and trusting in Christ who has redeemed you by taking on the form of a servant, taking on flesh and blood, assuming your sin, paying for those sins so that you can live right now as a new creation, forgiven, free, and heir to life eternal. That is what you have by having, by faith, Emmanuel, who is God with us. In Christ, we behold the glory of God, our Savior, our deliverer from oppression, sin, and even death. Jesus saves his people from their sins. He is with you. And he will be with you now, and even when you pass from this life into the next. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.